Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host for a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce to you Chief Ralph Ornelas. Yes, he is from California, still in California, and you know he's formerly with the LA County Sheriff's Department, also became a police chief after he retired from there, so he's actually had the distinct privilege, and not many people do, of wearing a SO and a PD hat. So God bless you. Thanks for being on the show, Ralph. We appreciate it. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, we have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, our satellite sponsor, Complianttechnologies.com. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, and TwoBells.com. They built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Going back to Gulls, I forgot to mention, Chief, that discount code radio15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase. So I want to make sure people remember that. And also a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press. Thanks for streaming our content. Ray Diedrich, formerlawman.com, and Travis Chase with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those guys. And guys, if you want to watch the show, the best way to figure it out, go to our website, leoroundtable.com. It's got all the outlets, TV, radio, podcast, social media. We're certainly on every podcast platform known to man, including Spotify and Apple iTunes, two of the most popular. And as far as social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, we've got X, formerly Twitter, and True Social, all those things and more. So thanks for watching the show. We appreciate it. Now, in order to whet the appetite and tell you guys what we're going to be talking about, yeah, we got some doozies. I'm glad we got Chief Ralph on the show. We got there's a California story coming up, but the first one we're going to cover just quickly. Supreme Court, they side with the Trump administration on removing green card holders that are accused of crimes. That's a big deal, and it's a good win, not for the Trump administration, but for us, you know, for the country. So we're going to talk just briefly about that, and then we're going to go into what I think we all really want to get into. Supreme Court says that an ex-LAPD officer may be sued for excessive force in a street shooting. Yes, we're talking about Officer Tony McBride from 6 years ago, shots 5 and 6, driving me crazy. You know, her dad, Jamie's been on the show a number of times. He's with the union over there, but we're going to talk about that. And I expect the NPA and Bessie Brantner Smith to be involved in this one. Also, former Sherborn, I guess it's a Sherborn, it's not Michigan, I guess it's a Maine police chief, awarded $1.2 million and why he sued the town. We've got a dash cam video showing the moments before an Anderson deputy shoots and kills a suspect on I-85. Two officers injured and a suspect shot when he tries to flee from a traffic stop. That's a wild one. We got a body cam shows a deadly shooting of a man who stabbed his mother over 40 times on Mother's Day. And the cops take him down when he goes back and he starts stabbing her again. Then we got body cam footage showing him the moment a deputy ends up getting shot during a gunfight at the Humble apartment complex. What a name. So there you go. So Chief Ralph, if you want to cover the green card thing real quick.
Yeah, you're the boss.
No offense. I'm not sure what your status is here, but you know, no offense in case, you know, that offends you, but
just have nothing offends me. All nothing right. Offends me.
So amgreatness.com, Supreme Court sides with the Trump administration on removing green card holders accused of crimes. This is not a slam on green card holders. My wife's family came here from Colombia. I know that the chief and I both have a lot of people. Look, this country was built on immigrants. However, we have a serious issue here. The borders have been open, which is one of the most asinine things I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe that we actually had a former President Biden responsible for that. That's put us in the position that we're in today with people getting raped and killed and just all kinds of horrible stuff because the borders have been open. But, and this is along those lines, this green card thing, listen to it. It makes sense. In a 6-3 decision, I'm surprised it was that close on Tuesday morning, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Trump administration. They hold that green card holders can, not will, but can be stripped of their status if they travel abroad while they're in the process of facing criminal charges involving moral turpitude, finding that pending allegations are sufficient to subject them for removal proceedings. Now, crimes of moral turpitude, that's like here where I'm at in Florida. If you commit a crime of moral turpitude, you know, it's a financial, you know, you're stealing, you know, money or sexual offenses, you know, you're going to be out of a pension. You know, they're going to yank your pension. So it's serious stuff. The court said that immigration officials do not They do not need clear and convincing evidence. They don't need to reach that threshold of a crime at the moment a green card holder re-enters the country to treat them as an applicant for admission by the Department of Homeland Security. Now, it dates back. There's a case called Blanche versus Law. That's LAU. And they've got a guy, they talk about, you know, it's a Chinese national. I'm not going to get into all that. But this decision allows DHS, Department of Homeland Security, to treat green card holders facing pending criminal charges as returning aliens awaiting inspection and later removal proceedings rather than just readmitting them as residents. They lose that privilege because they left the country in the middle of a criminal investigation. Chief Ralph, any commentary?
Yeah, real briefly, I agree with this. I like the fact that the Supreme Court sided with the Trump administration. And it's because the abuse of power that took place during the Biden administration, allowing all these people to come in, that, you know, this administration has to take these positions and fight these cases and go to the Supreme Court. And luckily, we got a 6-3 decision. But these are the steps to correct the idiotic behavior of the previous administration. And, you know, Joe auto-pens people that signed all these things, allow these people to come in and causing death, fraud, and taking advantage of our country. And we can't have this anymore. We have to set the tone about law and order in this country and come here the proper way. And we cannot have criminals in our country coming over the border just like it was just no border at all.
Yeah, so this Chinese national that this story came from, he got a little pucker factor when he came back into the country, didn't he? Can you imagine? Yeah. So moving along, and thanks for letting us cover that first, Chief. We're jumping to California, MSN.com. So it's like it started off, I think, in the LA Times. But yeah, they made it the MSN. Supreme Court says that an ex-LAPD officer, of course, we're talking about Tony McBride, may be sued for excessive force in street shooting. Let me just, before I get into this, we're all familiar with the Tony McBride shooting, shots 5 and 6. We've been covering this for 6 years. But, you know, qualified immunity comes into this. I know a lot of people have issues, a lot of uneducated people, let me say, have issues with qualified immunity because they say that cops shouldn't get it. And my response is always, what's the first word in that? It's called qualified. They don't get it automatically. They have to qualify for it. And people that complain about qualified immunity say nothing about absolute immunity, which is what judges and prosecutors get. You know, that's where they should really have the beef. I've sued a prosecutor before that had nothing to do with me being a bad guy, and they still gave him absolute immunity, and the law didn't even apply to it. But on this particular case, the reason why we have things like qualified immunity is to get rid of frivolous lawsuits. If we didn't have qualified immunity, and we still have to jump through the hoops to get qualified for it, the chief and I would have got sued for everything we did for our entire careers, and we would have been in the court system and never being able to get anything done. That's what happens, and that's why they have qualified immunity. You can sue a cop, and that's really mostly for a civil litigation, you know, for trying to get money and stuff. It really doesn't have normally much to do with criminal acts. It's going after the purse, right? People want to get money after you've done something to them as a police officer, and it's supposed to get away with that kind of stuff. So that's what we're talking about here. This is not a criminal court thing. So the Supreme Court of the United States refused on Monday to block an excessive force lawsuit against a former Los Angeles Police Department officer who shot and killed a knife-wielding guy whose speeding truck slammed into several cars. And this is in downtown LA, Los Angeles. The court turned down an appeal petition from the Los Angeles City Attorney's Office over the objections of Justice Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito Jr. So these two guys have got it going on, yeah, but we only got two. And in yesterday's show, I think it was the same two justices, you know, that were sticking up for trying to do the right thing. Litigation over the six-second shooting incident has extended over 6 years, and there's a lot of sixes here. So we've got a 6-5 vote by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We've got a 6-second shooting. It's happened over a 6-year period, and it deals with shots 5 and 6. I mean, so if people start getting confused, that's there's a lot of sixes in this. Federal judges in California, and this is the feds, they agreed that Officer Tony McBride had reason to fire 4 shots at the suspect in April of 2020. But remember, there were 2 other shots, right? but they don't agree that the two final shots, 5 and 6, they don't agree with those. And they say that those were the ones that killed him. I wonder, I know that we have a guy that examines all this stuff, and they go down, to the office, and they do an after death investigation. And so I'll just go and accept on face that it shots 5 and 6 killed him, but I'm not a total believer yet. Daniel Hernandez was alleged to be under the influence of methamphetamine, of all things, when he gets out of his truck and he walks toward the officer, Tony McBride. And on a side note, as the chief knows, Instagram model, very pretty girl. Her dad works for the police union, which didn't help her. It didn't do her any favors in this instance, but competitive shooter. The girl is famous for shooting, trained with Keanu Reeves before he did the movie? Oh my gosh.
You got me now. You got me.
Keanu Reeves was in, I'm sure the guys on the stream will tell me, but anyhow, she competitive shooter, trained with him. And John Wick.
Thanks a lot, Chief.
So she's a competitive shooter. And look, all 6 shots landed. But the Ninth Circuit, by a vote, the 6-5, they ruled last year that a jury could decide the officer went too far when she fired 2 final shots after the suspect had fallen to the ground. Now, I'm going to go in and slow down there. We got some more stuff coming up on this. We're going to dissect this, go over this, see what you guys think. But I'm telling you, I think that Tony's going to be okay. I just don't like the fact that they're letting it get this far. But stick with us, guys. Our first commercial break, we'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Back with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas, all the way from California. So thanks for making the trip all the way here today, Chief, remotely.
Welcome, Chip, and audience.
Virtually, it's amazing. You look like you're right there, we left off talking about, yes, Tony McBride. The article's title, Supreme Court says that ex-LAPD officer may be sued for excessive force in street shooting. And they're really talking about not giving her qualified immunity so that she's going to have to go to the civil suit. And she no longer works for LAPD. And this happened 6 years ago. Yeah, we've been covering this for 6 years. And it's just really, disappointing to see where we're at on this thing. So, yeah, litigation over the 6-second shooting. We had the federal judges in California. They agreed that she had been completely justified in the first 4 shots. But there was a little pause between shots 5 and 6. And those are the ones that they have an issue with. And those are the ones that they say killed the bad guy. Bad guy's name, Daniel Hernandez. Under the influence of methamphetamine, of all freaking things, gets out of his truck, walk after he crashes in downtown LA. He's walking towards Tony McBride. Then look, she's got cool, calm, collected, as the chief and I were talking earlier. She's trying to get people, there's a woman in a car that she's next. She's trying to make people are safe, number one. And there's a backdrop. She's at an intersection. She's like in a business district with places and people, and it's pretty active. And then the backdrop, we've got a lot of people congregating in the backdrop. When I say the backdrop, where I'm going with this is that when you pull the trigger and you're shooting at somebody, you need to be concerned not just with the bad guy, but with the backdrop. What is behind them? Is it a business? Is your bullet going to go through a window, through a car? Is it a passing car? Is it an interstate? Are there people, spectators? Can it ricochet off the roadway and go up? Or like remember that store that guy chased the cop chased a bad guy and shot a rifle and it ricocheted off the floor and went into a dressing room and killed the little girl, which I think was in California, if I'm not mistaken, too. So all these things go into play. So she orders him to drop the knife. repeatedly. Now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, by a 6-5 vote, they ruled last year that a jury could decide possibly that the officer had gone too far when she fired the two final shots after the guy, the bad guy, had fallen to the ground. The majority reason that the 1 second pause between shots 4 and 5, that during that Tony McBride, our cop, could have and should first have reassessed the situation and possibly concluded that the suspect no longer posed a danger. They say that she should have done that. My counter is just that, why do you think she didn't do that? The ruling would have been sent would have sent the case to trial, but the LA City Attorney's Office, they appealed the Supreme Court in October or appealed to the Supreme Court, and they urged the justices to review and to reverse the Ninth Circuit Court's decision. Now, the city attorneys, I'm kind of impressed with at least what I'm reading that the city attorneys did, to be honest with you, Chief Ralph. I don't know how you feel about this, but it said the city attorney said the appeals court failed to consider what they call the totality of the circumstances. We hear that a lot in law enforcement, from the perspective of a reasonable officer. I love the wording on the scene, and its decision refused to allow for reasonable mistakes in fast moving, life threatening encounters. And so the only issue I have is that it almost seems like they may be implying that there may have been a mistake made, but due to the circumstances, it's okay. And I, you know, from the outside looking in, I'm not viewing a mistake. UC Berkeley Law Dean Erwin Kerminsky. He's representing the family. He filed a response for the Hernandez family, surviving family. He urged the court to stand aside and kind of like let the chips fall where they may. Let the jury decide. So put Tony McBride. I mean, look, she's already lost her job and gone through this mess for 6 years. So just let it go to court, let a jury, put her on the chopping block and let a jury decide, you know, what should be done or whether she should be held responsible and whether her actions were reasonable. The Ninth Circuit simply held that it should be for the jury to solve the factual dispute over what happened, is what he said. Now, the Supreme Court repeatedly ruled, or according to our article, it's repeatedly ruled that police officers may be sued for unreasonable searches and seizures only if they are shown they have knowingly violated clearly established law. And that is true. However, and that means they won't get qualified immunity if they have violated clearly established law. Now, the doctrine, now we're getting to the nuts and bolts of this, qualified immunity has divided judges on whether a particular rule or limit has been clearly established. The Ninth Circuit majority said that shooting a fallen suspect crosses the line, which I think is BS. But here's a judge, Jacqueline Nijen, saying it has been clearly established for more than a decade that when an officer shoots and wounds a suspect and he falls to the ground, the officer cannot continue to shoot him absent some indication that he presents a continuing threat. Well, yeah, no, duh. Now, we've got dissenters here. So we've got the 5 dissenters said the officer made a reasonable split-second decision. Wow, what do you think about that, Chief? Judge Ryan Nelson said that Tony McBride, quote, was justified in shooting Daniel Hernandez to alleviate the risk that he posed when he advanced toward her armed or while armed and ignoring commands to stop. She cannot be reasonably expected or required to reassess her shooting in a tight 6-second period during an intense and dangerous situation throughout which Hernandez was rising and never stopped moving. And then we have Judge Patrick Bumate echoing the same concern. The story originally appeared in the LA Times, which I think I mentioned earlier. We've got less than 2 minutes, Chief Ralph.
Well, a lot to cover there. Number one, I was actually glad when you mentioned the LA City bringing that from the Ninth District to the Supreme Court, which means that the city attorney's office believed in what Tony McBride did. Okay, number one. Number two, you know, I got to commend Judge Nelson and Judge Bumate and their commentary. And I like what Bumate said at the end. He said, it doesn't require this radical parsing of events. Okay. He said, touchstone of the Fourth Amendment is reasonableness. It does not require superhuman discipline to majority's demand. The majority court, which said that they had to look at each second, the last two shots. Listen, I looked at the video. I watched the body-worn camera. She was so concise, so explicit, so calm, cool, collective in her commands to her partner, the community. She even said it in Spanish, to your point. I know 35 seconds there, but I know she mentioned to the community, back off, get dropped, move away, right? She was very calm, cool, collective in the manner she addressed that whole issue. And the way she shot the suspect, even after the fourth round, the guy was still moving in a very small second. In fact, it was 1.4 seconds between the fourth and the fifth shots.
All right, hold that thought. Guys, we're going in. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, that stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. It's really an unbelievable stat. It's actually helped them achieve non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip set you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California. We're still talking about a qualified immunity case. It's involving our favorite Tony McBride, FEMA police officer from LAPD. She's no longer active, but we're huge fans. We've had her back for the last 6 years on this thing. And yeah, it looks like SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, has decided not to officially weigh in, even though we had two justices that wanted to take this thing up and fix it and help Tony out. They're going to let nature take its course and let a jury decide whether she can be held liable for shots 5 and 6, essentially, in shooting a bad guy with a knife. Chief Ralph, I know we were talking about this. We'll try to wrap it up in the next, four or five minutes, but go ahead.
I will, I promise. You know, you mentioned some things off the air, but is this. Number one, I would reiterate that Judge Wynn stated, being on the ground, it's a case Zion versus Orange County. And she used this case to go after Tony, use it as a premise why Tony violated the last two shots. Well, the person was on the ground, wasn't moving. Well, I viewed the body worn camera 3 times. He was still moving, and she did exactly what I believe I would have done, Chip would have done, okay? Zion versus Orange County is a totally different circumstances. It was a mother, a suspect killed a mother with a knife. A deputy sheriff gets there. The guy goes after one deputy. Another deputy, Michael Higgins, comes in, shoots the guy. The guy's still moving, and he stomps on his head. And basically, they use that premise, that case, as an example to go after Tony. It's a total different circumstances. Now, this deputy sheriff from Orange County Sheriff's Department was held, $360,000 paid out of his pocket, $1.1 million from the Orange County Sheriff's to the family of the suspect. I personally review that case. You're reviewing Tony. It's a different circumstance. That's why I truly commend Judge Nelson and Bumate's commentary on dissenting on this case with Tony McBride. The other thing I got to circle back to is Tony McBride. I said this from the beginning. I'll say it again. She demonstrated being cerebral, not emotional, in her voice, her tone, and commands. Now, when I sat back and evaluated shootings, that means a lot, even to the point in her favor when she requested to her partner, do we have the 40 caliber? Less than lethal. You know something? That says a lot in the mind. But when she started seeing this guy aggressing, she did exactly what she had to do to save herself and other people around her, Chip.
Good analogy and a good commentary, Chief. Appreciate that. Yeah, the bad guy started to move again, still armed. Backdrop is changing now. We've got people, he's over on the civilian side of the street. And I think it was between two cars, if I remember correctly. And so my concern was, is that him getting concealment and possibly cover and then getting to one of the civilians, if he decided not to even go for her, but was he compliant? No, And that's always, every time I see a use of force, the first question I ask myself is, was the bad guy compliant? This guy definitely not. Still had the weapon and was moving, wasn't following commands, and he was a threat, not just to her, but to the civilians.
If I may, Chip, just to the audience that's listening, between the second and third volley, it was 1.4 seconds. Now, listen, we're human beings. You know, we're not a computer. She made those decisions like that in a very cerebral manner. On top of that, Chip, in the audience, you notice when I saw the video, the body worn camera, she's coordinating an arrest team after the shooting. She didn't make the arrest. She coordinated an arrest team to carefully approach this person very tactically. And I got to tell you, Chip, very disappointing to see what, you know, took place.
No, I agree. Well, look, we got 6 minutes, so let's. I'm going to skip over the update story and let's go to our story with a video, if that's okay. So,
yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, we've really got some interesting ones here. Let's. Something's telling me just to jump to the Mother's Day one. I hate to do it, but we're going to go to video three. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have a body cam is showing a deadly shooting of a guy who stabs his mother over 40 times on Mother's Day. This is a wild shoot. So we're in Southampton, New York. We have body cam footage related to the police-involved shooting. This guy's accused of stabbing his mother over 40 times. They say accused. I mean, they got it on video. I mean, for goodness sakes, on Mother's Day. Stephen Eastwood, 28 years old, fatally shot by Southampton Town Police on May the 10th after the officers respond to a 911 call from his mother. She reported that he's intoxicated and acting violently inside their home. So all officials had previously said that responding officers saw him in the house with a knife and that they attempted to de-escalate the situation. And body cam footage from multiple officers shows them yelling, "Hey, drop the knife," several times. And then he's seen with what appears to be his mother's blood on a sweater, his sleeves, and his hands. And they say, "Hey, got one at gunpoint, send more units," an officer, you know, says over the radio. So now I'm watching the footage. This guy briefly steps out the front door of the house with a knife in his hand. We got cops, about three of them, backing up. And they're he's moving. Well, anyhow, they're giving the commands. He's kind of like blowing them off. And then all of a sudden, he turns around to go walk back in the house. So one thing I picked up on, it sounded like the main cop called out. He called out someone's name. "Hey, he's going back in." It was almost like he was letting the guy that was in the house, because they were in the house originally. It was almost like he was letting a cop that was in the house, "Hey, dude's coming back in with a knife." But when they went in after him, I didn't see that cop I thought might have been in there. But I did see the guy getting on the floor next to his mom, who's moaning, and he just starts stabbing her again, crap. And they unload on him. So that's the way that goes. He falls down, pronounced dead. There's two knives, I think, laying on the ground next to him. So that's the way that goes down. Chief Ralph.
You know, very sad situation. Obviously, something definitely mentally wrong with this suspect, Stephen. I think his name was Stephen. You're 100% right. There was three officers. Tommy was inside, left inside in some living room, TV room, where the mother and the suspect, the mother was laying on, like, look out the kitchen area. But what gets me, though, is this, Chip, in the audience. The initial one of the body worn cameras is when they originally engaged him. If you look, the blade knife was just coming up from her body. That was the point. If it had been Ralph, I would have shot him. I would have shot him because I'm thinking, do I save this mother's life? They backed out, okay? They backed out And this guy, and Tommy's inside, was good communication, but the officers outside who backed out saying, Tommy, hey, Tommy, you okay? And, you know, you're in there and stuff. And he was all right. He was in another room, but he had to be alert to either the left of him, a doorway, or to the front of him going toward the front door. But I got to tell you, that suspect, as he got on the porch and looked at those eyes, tell me a lot. And he went back in and he went to stab her. And that's when everybody shot him. You know, I know something this brought up in my mind, a case that I had when I was a commander, a mother who used to visit her son. She didn't die. The mother was stabbed 17 times by this suspect, and the mother would come to visit her son almost every other day. And I got a chance to talk to her. I said,
wow,
how can you? She goes, it's my son. Drugs got his mind. But I got to tell you something. I got to give the mother command. But this situation, Chip and the audience, I would have shot as soon as I went in, because I saw the knife blade coming up from her body when they first went to that doorway looking into the kitchen in like in a north, south, east direction, whatever it was.
Yeah, what do you, I mean, even when you're, people don't, and look, I know the people that aren't cops, they don't get it. There's a lot of things they don't know. You know, when even when you arrest somebody or you detain someone, now you're responsible for that person. If you start, if you get surrounded by a crowd, if you're in the hood, in the projects, and people start throwing rocks and bottles, guess what? I'm worried about me, but now I'm responsible for that person too. And I'm justified in using whatever means, including the lethal, in order to protect them and myself. And yet for them backing out of that situation, what if the guy was walking to the doorway, they back out and he just closes the door and locks it. Now there's one guy inside, but what if that happened? You know, you don't give up ground in those situations. And I'm glad you pointed out the fact that there was that guy inside, which I'm glad you picked up on that, because I couldn't verify that. So thank you.
Yeah, you know, Chip, I would have never left my partner inside.
Yeah, that could have been so much worse. And plus, let's face it, what if you have a bad guy? And we've had this before. You have a bad guy that's armed and he's with the victim who's bleeding out, and he's not stabbing him, but he's just standing there with a knife. So you can't go in and render first aid because you've got this guy. What do you do? The victim's going to die if you don't render aid, but this guy's standing there knowing that, and you can't get close.
You know, Chip, I have to say this again. I mentioned this numerous shows with you on shootings, especially incidents like this. One person speaking. One
person. Oh, you're right. That was another issue. All right, we're going back in. Another commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, we're talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And guys, some new stuff going on with GunLearn. So if you haven't heard about it lately, pay attention. Now, GunLearn, for starters, they are the first and only company that offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, the certification that I'm talking about, even if you got it 5 years ago, now it's worth college credits. That's the big deal, and that's the change. They hooked up with Smarter Degree and the university partners in order to pull that off. And yeah, and if you're not aware of it, GunLearn.com, they've been doing this and giving away these, well, not giving away, you got to earn them, but these certified firearm specialist degrees, they've been doing this since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, which is law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and also ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com. to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California. We just got done talking about a story involving a bad guy stabbed his mother on Mother's Day over 40 times, and the cops took him out. But we've been critiquing how that went down, and there were definitely some things that could have been done arguably better. So any final words on that before we jump to the next one, Chief?
No, sir.
All right, so our next one, also at rumble.com, dashcam video shows the moments before an Anderson deputy shoots and kills a suspect on I-85.
Thank you.
Wow. Anderson County, South Carolina. We have dash cam. It's released by SLED, which is I didn't pull up the acronym for this show, but it's a group of law enforcement agencies that are involved in like a kind of like a task force. It shows the moments leading up to an exchange of gunfire that left an Anderson County Sheriff's deputy injured and the suspect dead earlier this year. This is some wild footage, guys. So it's from April the 20th. It's on Interstate 85 northbound. The video starts off with the deputies in the suspect's vehicle pulled over on the side of the highway at exit 11 near Townville. And so we're looking at the dash cam. The bad guy's car is in front of us. And then there's another car with overheads on in front of it. So, yeah, so the chief knows when I initially watched, I got to tell you, chief, that I thought maybe the overheads were on the car in the middle that the bad guy ended up back. I'm thinking, is he getting inside the cop's car to get the gun? I mean, I didn't know. So, but we finally got that. It was kind of hard to tell from the dash cam for me. And I got a big 34-inch monitor. So investigators say that the suspect was initially in the back of the deputy's vehicle, which I think you saw my notes. I don't believe that. I think he was in the front passenger seat. It looked like the door was open on the side. There's a canine in the back. You can clearly hear the canine on the dash cam. No way that dude's in the freaking back seat. With that, even if they had a split canine backseat, which I've never done, like there's any such thing, the dog would have been going crazy with the freaking bad guy sitting next to him with a cage between them. There's just no way. So I think that they opened up the front passenger door. And anyhow, regardless, they're going to go 10-15 with this guy, and these two cops start fighting him. And so then he comes in view of the dash cam as the fight is along the side of the interstate with cars like zipping by. And now it's on dash cam, and they're fighting this guy, and they're getting the fight is moving closer to the bad guy's car, but they're on the shoulder on the side of the interstate. Now, it said the officers used their tasers, which they did. The bad guy gets up off the ground, and you've got cops on both ends of him, and he ends up getting to his freaking car, and he opens up one of the passenger doors, and so the cops immediately go the taser. Gotta tell you, chief. I don't know if that would have been, I'm thinking, you know, he's going to the passenger side. So I'm more worried about him going for a weapon than I am for him getting in the car and driving away since he's accessing the passenger side. But anyhow, sure enough, guy, 32-year-old Austin Robertson of Pennsylvania, he turns around and he shoots one of the cops. And I only heard one gunshot. Sometimes it's kind of hard to tell what what's going to get picked up or not. But so the cop that gets shot goes running down away from the car, the cruiser with the dash, and they both run away. Bad guy it looked, maybe he was shot or something, I don't know, but he's still kind of slumped in that back seat. The main cop, the one that didn't get hit, comes back, and dude, he freaking unloads on that guy a couple times, and the bad guy ends up dying. The injured deputy, Alex Albrecht, he gets airlifted, so it wasn't looking good for him, to Greenville Memorial. And he gets released a week later after undergoing several surgeries. Thank God he survived. Not so much for the bad guy, Chief Ralph.
You know, Chip, I looked over this a number of times after you sent it out. And number one, I'm always concerned on car positioning of patrol car. Number one, if the backup, why didn't he pull? Why did he pull in front? Why didn't he pull in the back? Just something I just don't like, because God forbid there's an exchange. Now you got a crossfire. Number one. Okay. Number two, you know, I agree with you. What were they going to put him in the front seat of that patrol car with a canine? Okay. Number three, poor control of a suspect's hands, body. I mean, two officers on scene. If this guy starts fighting, you have to get control of him. And if I was the canine officer, which the dog, I would have hit the door. I would have hit the button.
I was waiting for it. Yeah.
I would have hit the button to have that dog bite him relentlessly before he gets to that car. Okay. So that's another thing. So control the body, control the hands, let the dog out. He gets to the car. He's fighting you. Two guys are losing. If he went into that car, my mindset is he's going for something. I might have shot him right away instead of going for the taser. Because to my mind, it's like, if he's got that much anger and disdain for us, he's going for something. And the officer in the dark uniform, not the light uniform, who is the canine handler, He got shot in the left shoulder. He's blessed. And, you know, he's lucky. He unloaded rounds, and so did the officer who was who had the dash cam. He unloaded on him too. So they're both fortunate on this incident. But I always go back to the initial contact. Do you have – and we couldn't see all that. What's the initial contact?
Right.
How did that take – did you take command of that initial contact?
Yeah, the dog was going crazy because the dog could see what was going down. He can see his master, that dog wanted. Now I know it's an interstate, so there was a moment where I thought that the canine handler was trying to remotely release the dog, you know, from the cruiser, from the car, but it didn't happen. It is an interstate, but the dog could see what was happening, so I suspect the dog would have been okay, not running in traffic. But then I'm thinking, we got three people fighting. Dude, I've got scars all over my arms from canines. So but I still would have released the dog because, you know, I can handle getting, I don't care about getting dog bit, but that dog, it would have been, you know, 3-on-1 instead of just 2-on-1 then, you know? So, yeah.
You know, what's the other thing too, I noticed about the two officers. Everybody listening to this, don't take it negative. But I didn't see anybody throwing any punches to the face.
They don't. They don't. You know, there was grappling. It was just holding legs and getting them in a chest bear hug. And yeah, I you don't see a lot of pressure points. You don't see impact weapons. This certainly was a justifiable case for an impact weapon. I don't care if it's a police radio, a flashlight, whatever. But yeah, you don't see guys using impact weapons anymore either. Yeah, and that's troublesome because you want to. I know the chief, without even asking him, I will tell you this. So the chief and I are on the same page. When you get in that kind of a fight, well, any fight, but you want to end it quickly. You want that over, and you have to have overwhelming force. And that simply was allowed to go on too much. And when you have people fighting that are not doing strikes and stuff, that, you know, why are you not going there? You know,
I sent this video to my drill instructor, who's 84 years old.
Okay.
Right. And this morning he sent me a text. Ralphie, if they would have had the side handle baton, yeah, like you did, PR. Would have broke his knees and he would never got back to that car.
Yeah. Too bad that some things, and it was Rodney Howard, Rodney King.
Rodney King.
They got rid of that, right? Yeah. Yeah. So what are you going to do?
I know.
So, well, we've only got a minute left before we, so not really enough time to cover another story. But, you know, this one, we've got two videos, the Mother's Day, and they didn't say whether the mother died.
I thought it did. I thought she said she died in the narrative.
You think? Okay.
I think it did. Yeah.
Because I was thinking 40 times, I was having trouble finding it, but we go through a lot of stories on the show prep guy. So please don't think, well, how can you not, if it's just in print, you know, dude, there's a lot of prep involved for this stuff, you know, but either way, it was completely justified. In fact, it should have probably arguably happened, you know, before that. Mom may have been alive.
Think so, Chip. I mean, because he was coming up with the initial contact with yours, he was coming up with a knife from her body. The blade was facing down and he was holding it in this manner. And she was moaning. Even when Tommy was by himself and they exited, the other two parts exited, you can hear her moan. You know how it is when somebody's dying.
Yeah. It's, I know we're on overtime here, but, you know, when you're a cop, when you've been around that much, as much death as we have, and you've seen a lot of guys die in your arms, in your hands, whatever, you know, you know, and sometimes people are critical about not doing like CPR and stuff. And they don't realize that, you know, there's a lot of times when it's that bad and you're just making them die quicker. You're just like, you're pushing the blood out. And there's sometimes you reach a point to where it's just really, especially with head trauma, there's nothing you can do. So sometimes it's just optics, you know, but Chief, thank you so much for being on the show. I wanted to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. I'm going to have him talk about his fentanyl crisis that he gives in just a second, guys. But don't forget about our sponsors, you know, gulls.com, discount code radio15. Don't forget that. Also compliantechnologies.com, gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, and twobells.com. Thanks, guys, for watching. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.